go through the agenda and allow us to adopt it. If maybe there are no any other items which you feel should be included in this agenda. In the absence of none, we have the apologies. I will request the Acting Secretary, Mr. Mtileni. Mr. Mtileni is here with us this morning because Disang, who's our the committee secretary, has gone to attend other issues this morning. So the parliament has requested Mr. Mtileni to be our secretary for today. Do we have any apologies, Mr. Mtileni?
Thank you, Chairperson. As far as I know, I didn't receive anything from my colleague, so it means we don't have apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Mtileni. We have an apology from Honorable Mazoni, though it will still come through the email. That's the only apology we are aware of. Can I proceed and request the chairperson of SAFCOL to brief us on their annual report, and then thereafter we'll receive their financial statements for the year 15-16. Over to you, chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to the honorable members. Chairperson, we thank you the opportunity to appear before this committee today. We have prepared a presentation which our CFO will go through, and then we will then add myself and the acting CEO in order to make sure that we give a comprehensive presentation, and we will then take the matters from there, Honorable Chair.
I think we have a problem with the sound here. Loretta, if you can just check the technicians. So who's taking us through? Trish will take us through. Okay, all right. Thanks, Trish. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and Chair of the Board. I would first like to say thank you for the opportunity that SAFCOL can present the annual report and financial statements for the period ending 2015-2016. Just to give you a brief outline about SAFCOL, the mandate is determined by the Management of State Forests Act, founding documents, other prevailing legislation, and the Shareholders' Compact as agreed with the Department of Public Enterprises. This indicates SAFCOL's mandate, which is to conduct forestry business, which includes timber harvesting, timber processing, and related activities both domestically and internationally. Our vision is to be a world leader in the integrated forestry product business, powering sustainable growth and creating wealth through partnerships with communities. Our mission is dedicated to growing our business in the forestry value chain and maximizing stakeholder value, driven by an unwavering commitment to facilitate sustainable economic empowerment of communities and wealth creation. Our core values, as defined in our strategy, we respect and value our stakeholders. We are passionate about our business and communities. We conduct ourselves with honesty and integrity, and we strive for excellence and innovation. Just an overview of the company's structure. Under the Republic of South Africa, through the Minister of Public Enterprises, holds 100% of SAFCOL. SAFCOL then holds 100% in Komatiland Forest, known as KLF. Komatiland Forest holds 80% in the Mozambique entity, IFLOMA. SAFCO also holds 100% in Abacus Forestries SOC Limited and Kamhlabane Timber SOC Limited. Overview of SAFCO business. SAFCO conducts its primary business within the plantation forestry industry through the management of its 18 prime softwood. But just to give you some background, we have softwood in majority, and we have eucalyptus, sawlog plantation assets in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KZN. The 18 will also include Ifloma, which is Mozambique, covering a land area in South Africa of 187,320 hectares, and we have 65,000 in Ifloma 1, 35,000 Ifloma 2, or the other way around, 35,000 Ifloma 1, 65 Ifloma 2. Revenues generated from the sale of forest products, sawn timber, and value-added products. KLF, Komati Land Forest, owns and operates the Timbadola sawmill, which is a softwood processing sawmill, and that is located in Limpopo, and it manages a custom cut arrangement. Ifloma, the Mozambique entity, is under the Public Limited Liability Company. It was established in the 90s as a government initiative, of which 80% of the shareholding is held by Komati Land Forest. This was acquired in 2004. The remaining 20% is held by EJAP, Mozambique State Shareholding Management Institute. The total land holding, and this is just Ifloma 1, 31,754 hectares, of which 16,178 hectares is plantable. SAFCO operates mainly in rural areas and provides opportunities for economic development and participation for local communities. Approximately 61% of the land area is under land claim, in which SAFCO is actively involved while also supporting the land claimants and the other community members in various initiatives. This is just the land claims distribution. It's a bit small, but on your presentation you'll be able to see the plantation as well as the percentage that is under claim. Moving over to the performance against the shareholders' compact, in terms of the financial returns, in most cases, SAFCO has underachieved, except for the current ratio. The reason for this was there was underperformance of lumber sales, there was higher anticipated operating profits, repairs and maintenance were exceptionally high due to old equipment. We also incurred high costs in terms of an ERP system, and we had an exercise of relooking at all the fixed assets. When this was done, there was an increase in depreciation due to useful lives that were adjusted. In terms of our cash interest cover, SAFCO maintains very low gearing, and therefore there is an appetite for funding, outside funding that can still be looked into for new initiatives. In terms of the area of forest under management, SAFCO achieved in terms of total gross stocked area in both South Africa and Ifloma 1 Mozambique. In terms of the expansion of planted area for both Ifloma 1 and Ifloma 2, SAFCO underachieved, and this was due to a budget not being set aside for Ifloma as it was put under a care and maintenance strategy a few years ago, and that was still being revisited at the time. In terms of the unplanted area, temporary, SAFCO has achieved in both South Africa and Mozambique. Area of forest under management, which is fully certified to FSC and PEFC standard, 100% in South Africa, and again in Mozambique, it will be noted under actual that it was under the care and maintenance plan, and therefore the work was not done there. In terms of the timber processing and the volume of timber dollar, the expected targets were very high to begin with and was not in line with the actual volumes that timber dollar could produce. So on the onset, these targets were, if I say, unattainable, with just the timber dollar sawmill being very old. So we did however, achieve 131,179 in terms of volume against 150,000 anticipated, despite having extremely old equipment in Timbadola with regular breakdowns affecting the ability to meet the targets. Also, in terms of volume of custom cuts, we achieved 82,000 against 150,000 targeted, and this was one of the custom cut contracts that was only approved for an 8-month period, effectively reducing the intake. In terms of vertical integration, SAFCO has achieved, there was a creation of furniture manufacturing business to create at least one business with a partner, and Limpuma Furniture Cooperative was established in that regard. In terms of vertical integration, industrial production process of timber frame structures, to sell the plan and sign an MOU with at least one partner, professional engagement with Cohen Consulting and construction engineers. In terms of agroforestry, SAFCO has also achieved assessment and development of implementation plan towards the agroforestry business. The plan was to implement at least one identified project in terms of that agroforestry plan. One was identified and implemented in the Limpopo province. In terms of focus on safety, obviously we have not anticipated any fatalities at SAFCO to begin with. However, tragically, there were three. One chainsaw employee killed in October of 2015 at Belgeboom. Two employees killed in a lightning strike at Blade in March 2016. In terms of the disabling injury index, we have 2.4 as opposed to what we anticipated of 1.8. We had poor injury performance in quarter four, and many of the half day what we call the more specific disease, those are going to be managed going forward. In terms of skills development, SAFCO has done well and achieved total number of student internship and graduate trainees, 29 to the anticipated 20. Artisan trainees, we achieved the 10. Engineering trainees, 5. Total number of sector-specific trainees, forestry and processing learnerships, 85 of the 85 we had planned for. In terms of the training spend, 3% of total employee costs were anticipated, and SAFCO achieved 5%. In terms of employment creation, foresters and wood technologists, we went over. Sorry, I think I was a bit soft. Okay. Foresters and wood technologists, SAFCO has also overachieved 13 of the 8. We planned for 8. We actually have 13. In terms of the indirect jobs, there's a line through that. This was because the definition in terms of indirect jobs was just to be confirmed as to how we define it and what parameters we set around it. Also, in terms of measuring, in terms of procurement, SAFCO did not have the systems in place to accurately measure this. So currently we're looking at how do we measure it, do we have the system, and can we report accurately on it. So the line does not mean we have not created any indirect jobs, but purely we did not want to reflect something that would be inaccurate. Employment equity contribution, number of black management, 52 as to 50, that was planned for. Number of black females at management level, 18 to the 23. Unfortunately, during quarter 3 and 4, SAFCO experienced resignations of 6 black female senior managers, including the CEO, CFO, senior executive HR, senior manager learning and development, CRO, senior manager strategy planning and performance. Also, there was a moratorium set in quarter 4 with regards to recruitment. Number of black people with disabilities, 15, and SAFCO anticipated and planned 40. Procurement spend, SAFCO did well in terms of the BBBE contributor level 2, and SAFCO maintained a level 2. Local content, 81% with relation to the 50% that was planned for. Procurement spend on marginalized groups, 96%. Versus 25% that was planned for. This also is we're also looking at system issues here and how we can better report on procurement spend going forward. In terms of the enterprise development spend, we just underachieved very slightly. We planned for 2 million and Safco achieved 1.9 million. We don't record an SED spend, but just to give you the SED spend, Safco actually did achieve. It was planned for 7.1 and Safco achieved 7.53 million. Then to move on to our financial highlights, the group equity value of Safco, 3.2 billion. Biological asset value up 0.6% to 3.8 billion. Revenue up 0.6% to 903 million. Our average log selling price up 8% to 561 rand per cube. Average lumber selling price up 5.6% to 2,643 rand per cube. The sawmill in Timbadola, despite the aged assets, had a record intake volume of 131,179 cubes. The group asset value of Safco is 4.6 billion and the audit had achieved an unqualified audit opinion with few emphasis of matters. Just to give you some feedback on the emphasis of matters, it was with regard to prior year errors that were corrected in the current year, material losses, and internal control deficiencies, as well as the change of leadership towards the end of last year created an instability, and the Auditor General highlighted poor or lack of leadership. In terms of the financial performance summary, Safco had an operating loss of 125.4 million. The loss before tax, sorry, the brackets are missing, but it is a loss before tax of 97.4 million and a final loss for the year of 49.7 million. Achievements for the year for Safco: update on the recruitment process. So subsequent to the many resignations to the latter part of last year, the CFO position was successfully filled in this current year. Currently, management and executive are looking at targeting the other executive positions, senior executive HR, chief operating officer, and chief executive. All of these are expected to be filled by the end of December 2016. Safco has also engaged in a rebranding process for a new Safco brand, and you will see the new logo as at the bottom of the presentation. This is to bring together all Safco business to market it as such and get the name out there under one brand. Timber Frame Structures, a business case, has been approved by the board in terms of rolling out Timber Frame Structures. Initially, this will be targeted to be used and actually to be acquired by the public sector. Continuing with achievements of the year, we have redefined cost centers for more transparent reporting. This also increases the accountability within the organization from an operational point of view, as opposed to centrally trying to drive the business. It also manages the second point, which is the cost management and the control of expenditure. Very important to note is contract management. It was non-existent in Safco, resulting in a number of irregular items, which was also listed and recorded by the Auditor General of South Africa in the prior financial year. This was purely because there were no processes and controls in place in terms of contract management. That is something management is looking at now to implement a system and the relevant policies and procedures to curb that problem. We've also addressed fruitless and wasteful expenditure to manage, monitor, and evaluate, as well as, like I've mentioned already, the contract management. Then there's assessment of the ERP system, Enterprise Resource Planning. Safco had implemented a system. However, there's a number of deficiencies, and at this stage, it is not meeting the need of the business. There are simple requirements of the system that it cannot meet, and therefore we are doing an assessment of what it would take to actually fix the system or look at another system. In terms of investigation reports, the investigation reports that were given to SAFCO, a detailed audit plan based on the internal control deficiencies was put together to rectify those findings, those deficiencies, and those gaps within the control environment. Also, where there were people identified or processes that were identified to be of a criminal nature, that information has been handed over to the relevant law enforcement for prosecution. Our future focus, strategic drivers, financial sustainability, revenue growth, cost control and profitability. To drive that financial sustainability and to ensure we meet it, we want to be world-class operation and process, and in order to do that, we need modernization and optimization, something that SAFCO was lacking. We did, as we know, and we did not explore any new markets. Then efficiency, broaden R&D capability, improve quality, standards, health, and safety, effective contract management, which is key to reducing irregular expenditure, risk management. Then we have human capital and transformation, which is very key to SAFCO, high-performance culture, appropriately skilled and diversified workforce, skills retention and reward, skills development pipeline, succession planning, and employer of choice. Then satisfied customers and stakeholders. We want to engage more with the stakeholders. We want to be the supplier and service provider of choice, and we want to be the preferred partner in our industry. Then the strategic objectives to get us there, growth in new markets, which I touched on very briefly. SAFCO did not explore growth in new markets. Like I say, we went on the basis of we did what we know. So key to the new strategy and the way forward is business development and growth. Growth of the current market share, diversification of the product and service offerings from SAFCO, and diversification into new markets. And obviously to assist us there, horizontal and vertical integration. Financial sustainability, as I said, revenue growth, financial management all around to monitor the actual spend, and an increase of the operating profit at least 5% per annum. In terms of operations, to establish a cutting-edge processing facility, as I alluded earlier, the processing facility we currently have is old and cannot carry out the ideas and the vision we have for SAFCO in terms of the growth we anticipate. Continuous improvement of the civic culture and harvesting practices, support all business processes with R&D, and develop forestry management services. In terms of rural development, to be a catalyst in the rural economic development in the country. The key strategic direction, horizontal integration. Currently, SAFCO leases the land from DEF in terms of plantations, and we are looking at ways to explore that and improve and actually expand on that. Also in terms of the IFLOMA expansion, which was left for many years, as I said, under the care and maintenance strategy. However, the potential does lie there, and that is going to be explored. Vertical integration, Timbadola upgrade, the Timbadola co-gen project, Sabi complex, timber frame structures, as I spoke of, and as well as pole treatment plants and poles. Obviously, there's a need for that, and that would be one of the key things or as of more immediate plans that will be taken up. In terms of revenue diversification, ecotourism, also something that fell under SAFCO that to date was not really explored to its full potential. We are looking at due diligence to actually look at how we can expand, improve, and make sure that this is one of the or bringing in more of the revenue to SAFCO, as well as forestry management services, which would be local and international service offerings. Okay, I would like to hand over to the chair, and he can hand over to Andrew. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, Trish. I'll ask the acting CEO to deal with the matter of IFLOMA more broadly, as well as with regard to the investigations.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regards to IFLOMA, you'll see that it was placed under care and maintenance, and this was done a couple of years ago by the former management. What care and maintenance basically entails is we do everything but harvesting and sales. So it is basically weeding, planting, pruning, and taking care of the asset. With us coming in now, we identified that we need to turn around IFLOMA. It was something that the shareholder pushed on us, as well as from the AG. It was something they highlighted to us. And what we're currently doing is we're in the process of developing a turnaround strategy. You'll see that we did not make the targets in terms of the planting that we anticipated, but also at the end, because it was not budgeted for. The reason why it wasn't budgeted for, because we only looked after the care and maintenance portion of it. That is something that we are taking under as a huge priority within SAFCOL to sort out, and we're taking very serious. So I think I'll leave it there. With regards to the investigations, when we started, the minister asked us to have a look at all the reports. I think there was a total of 20 reports that was previously done, but it was never actioned. And with the new board starting, we started an investigation to look into those, all of those investigations as well. Those investigations have then been concluded. We've reviewed all those reports, and where applicable, we've handed over to the National Prosecutor to take the matter forward. There was another issue that I just wanted to quickly address, and that was on minority shareholding, which did not come up now. The minority shareholding used to be reported within SAFCOL's financials, and you'll see if you compare last year to this year's that it's not included in our finances. When the board started, we requested a full report on what was the intent of minority shareholding, and it became clear that the intent was purely for SAFCOL to hold on to those shares until we find a place to move it to. So it was never supposed to be part of the asset base, and the revenue that was recorded was never supposed to be reflected in SAFCOL financials. So in this year, we've taken it out. Land claims remain quite a big issue for us. We are re-looking our model. The current model that we are implementing, or that the industry is implementing, is a leaseback model where you pay a rental fee per hectare that you use. From our view, as well as our shareholders' view, this is not a sustainable model going forward, and we need to look at how we can involve the communities closer in our operations so they can benefit more out of our operations and have a sustainable future for both of us. I think that is where I'm going to leave it for now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Acting CEO. May I ask Honourable Chair for the CFO just to deal with one matter that was overlooked, the restatement of the financials.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the minority shareholding, just to give some more insight, as the acting CEO alluded to, it was incorrectly classified in terms of accounting as a held for sale asset, and as he said, it was the intent was more to hold it as a trustee and not to hold it as benefiting SAFCOL in any way. So there was a prior period error, and we had a reduction in the income of 41 million. But we also had to do a cumulative amount, and that restatement amounted to 431 million. In terms of income, the SAFCOL was never supposed to actually disclose on their records. Apart from that minority shareholding, there were a number of other items as well that had to be re-looked at from the prior year. either where there was an accounting error or something wasn't disclosed as it should have been. Another example of this would be the fixed assets. We had to do a full count again, make sure that all the assets were there, look at the useful life of those assets, and restate based on that. The other smaller items that were restated was the trade and other payables. So cumulatively to the retained earnings, there was a major difference from the prior year to the current year. So even going backwards to our financial statements from prior years, you always now have to take into account that there was this error in actually recognizing income to Safgolf that never ever was Safgolf to begin with. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Trish. Honorable Chair, I'd like to deal with a few slides, like three to be precise. Slide number 7. There's an item with regard to the executive, the former executive that's mentioned there, like the CEO and the CFO and the senior executive, the HCM. Around about the end of the year, 2015, in fact, to be precise, starting from December, on the 14th of December, two resignations were received, one from the former CEO and the other from the former CFO.
Cool.
And these resignations were immediately accepted by the board. And in fact, one of the reasons why they were immediately accepted is because the board had already established that the executive was not being honest in dealing with the board regarding the matters that the board was inquiring upon. And clearly there was no cooperation as would have expected. And also there were also other issues, because some of the reports that were originally instituted by the previous board included action that needed to be taken against certain of the board members, of the executive members, of which nothing was done. So that process, of course, also led to the suspension of the senior executive HCM, as well as the COO, who later resigned in February 2016, this year. So that's basically the information regarding their departure. And since then, the board has since appointed, in fact, started by appointing acting CEO, who's Mr. Theron, as well as an acting CFO, who at the time of the finalization of the report by the Auditor General, the acting CFO was Ms. Baduza, who is also a member of the board. Of course, now she is out and she's not present here today. As you can see, we have started with the process of the CFO. The CFO has been formally appointed, and the process that's being followed with the rest, including the CEO. So we are moving forward to stabilize the company as fast as possible. And of course, there are other challenges, because we have to look at the right people for the nature of the challenges that the company has. But as was indicated in the presentation by the CFO, that we are committing to ensure that all the executive positions would be filled at the latest by December. And then in slide number 13, Madam Chair, slide number 13 basically answers maybe questions honorable members may be having in terms of the relevance of Safcon going forward. If you notice on the growth and new markets column, we are effectively indicating that there's a great future for Safcon. on the diversification into new markets, that is not only looking at only on the timber frame structures that we have indicated, but we are also looking broadly at other markets, including outside South Africa. In fact, part of our pursuit of IFLOMA includes us even expanding in Mozambique, especially in the light of the challenges with land claims in South Africa. For the company to be sustainable, it must begin also to look elsewhere. On the horizontal integration, we have started the process, which process includes also us taking over management of government forests, which include the 160,000 hectares currently under DAF, so that we expand so that government can also get value, good value for the asset, as at the moment, Safcol has the best wood quality in the country. So we want to translate that and expand it to all what is under government at the moment, but not under the same terms as we are currently running the 187,000 hectares, but more on as part of the forestry management, which effectively means that the land as well as the asset will remain the asset of the owner, which in case of DAF, but we do the management, we grow the trees, we assist in the processing and everything so that we get the product to reach ultimately the level that we have a Safcol with FSC certification. And under vertical integration is not only looking at us improving the upgrading of timber dollar and also the timber frame structures and coal treatment plant, but it's also looking at incorporating other or facilitating the establishment of other businesses by the private sector. That also presents the opportunity for black industrialists as well as enterprise development that we are talking about and rural development. So in essence, Honorable Chairperson, we are saying we are positioning Safcol through action, not just talk, through action, to make sure that we are not only increasing the revenue of Safcol, because our target now is to reach a billion. We would also notice that under financial sustainability, if you compare the previous targets, the target was 3%, I think, previously, and now we have noted that we are looking at increasing operating profit by at least 5% per annum, which because we believe that that's possible based on what we have already started doing. I think that's basically all, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, for giving us the vision and the strategic objectives of the company. And also I want to thank Trish and Gabriel for the presentations they made to us. Now I will allow honorable members to pose questions. Before that, I think do we have new members here?
I'm half new.
Oh, okay. I thought it's one of the journalists. So sorry, ma'am. Can we? Okay, I'll start with Honorable Lien, and then we'll go to Honorable Lienge, and then Honorable Stander, Honorable Nopanda, Honorable Teddy, and lastly, Honorable Ranto, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation.
I just want to be clear. Has the CEO who was once acting, Harvey, are you now permanent? I thought you said that we had just, it's no longer an acting position. Oh, so you're the CFO, you're no longer the acting CEO. Or were you ever? Can I just get a response quickly because I'm a bit confused.
She is the CFO.
Okay.
Yes.
Her and name still is acting. Trish. Are you the CEO? Okay.
CFO.
CFO. Okay, I'm asking about the CEO.
The CEO is still acting.
Okay.
Mr. Theron.
All right.
Okay.
So I think I have a picture. Sorry, I'm new to the committee, so I'm getting my wits about me about what's going on here. So, I mean, we pretty much, SAFCO pretty much dominates this industry, right? There's not a huge number of competitors. There hasn't been, like, a huge decline in demand for the services and products and stuff that you offer. So this thing of a loss is very bothering, that you are still operating at a loss. And I think it's going down to corruption that is going on within. I mean, you cannot have a mass resignation of executives and that thing just goes without us investigating, even here at the portfolio committee. I mean, a CFO, a CEO, everyone resigns. You come and you report to us that the board already was not happy with their performance and the board had already identified that they should leave. But how do we know that it's not the board who was the problem? I mean, that tender that happened that involves the acting CEO now, and I'd like him to answer whether he does have any relations with the, what's the Duarte ex-husband of the ANC deputy secretary, John Duarte, and that tender regarding, was it the monitoring and evaluation, or there was some tender for $10 billion. That was given to a business associate, because it seems that after that tender, that's when we had this mass executive resigning. So there has to be something that happened over there, and we'd like, and I would actually like for the portfolio committee to move that we call in the ex-executives and the current board, and they must come and answer. We cannot just let something like this just go by and we don't deal with the matter. I mean, that is very serious, and this is why we're having state-owned entities that are not performing anymore because of this corruption, this tender processes, and we just let it go, and we come and we just leave it, let it go. The board hasn't changed since the resigning of the previous CFO and CEO and all the other executives. It's pretty much remained the same. Okay. So I'd like us to talk about that. And I think I'm covered. I just wanted to... Yeah, and also just speak to me about the branding. Like, what's the point of us rebranding and the costs that are involved in the rebranding of the state entity? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. mine, Chair, is to first maybe put more flesh on what the latter speaker has said in relation to the resignations of the executives and the view of the board as it pertains to conduct of the then CEO, because the board actually foresaw something wrong in the activities of the then CEO. Had they actually debated that and resolved to take any action, because it can't be just be a perception that there should be something wrong, and then, oh, now he resigns, or it means there was something, then it ends there. It can't be correct. I'm sure we're dealing with South Africans here. You resign, you still live here. You still operate your banks here. Something need to be done at HPC about that, because this will be creation of a wrong precedent. And in fact, it should have been taking place for quite a long time. When people are feeling that they are in a risk of being investigated, you take action as a board or the management, you suspend someone or you conduct an inquiry. Right in the, whilst you are in the process of doing that, someone has resigned. You resign, and 2 months down the line, you pay that person all his or her dues. And then 2 months down the line again, this particular individual is employed elsewhere within the civil service as a top echelon. I mean, we can't continue like that. We need to apply breaks now, because the attitude that you have adopted in accordance with this report, it means you want to take this organization to high level. So you can't then ignore the activities of the past, because some of your staff members, stakeholders, and service providers and everybody else know exactly what has been taking place. They might try to reintroduce that and follow the same route. And then when you take action, then they will ask, what have you done with so-and-so? Then on the land claims issue, I appreciate the manner in which you are explaining it, because a land claim is not supposed to suspend or install development. But there should be an understanding by the claimants as to what is it that you want to do, and then you involve them. And the community involvement in their own development, Chairperson, is not something, in fact, it's not a favor. It's a constitutional obligation. They must be involved. And to be involved for exactly what you have alluded to say, they must benefit. And the benefit should not just be to benefit in monetary terms, to benefit as owners, because that is looking into the future beneficiation, the true beneficiation. Because if you are not owning that, as a community in a country like South Africa that aspires to be a developmental state, and one of the attributes of a developmental state is the involvement and the ability of the communities participating into their own development. Also, Chairperson of the board, you know, a decisive board is actually the main character that will take this organization to where it belongs. And I can see that you want to do that, but when you want to start afresh, you should take a step back and address something or two on what has happened, and then you move forward. On procurement, 96%, I mean, we need to appreciate that. It is good. In the State of the Nation address, the President put emphasis on the 75% localization content. So that is good for us. So your attainment of 96% is good. Save to maybe check as to whether you are able to empower the underprivileged service providers in order to produce quality and to be competitive enough even for the future. Then on asset management, Chairperson, I would want to check if the organization has an asset management policy and inventory holding. Whether the organization has also a depreciation and disposal policy for its assets. Because you want to be a catalyst of rural economic development. I mean, that is good for us as your objective. I don't think your objectives are open-ended. You have measurable objectives. And then you might be in the near future be able to quantify that, because it is the bone of contention for job creation and ability of the communities to access opportunities that exist in the organization is actually a direct response to the National Development Plan. So I would want to get some more elaboration on such aspects as that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I think on behalf of the committee, we need to send our condolences to the families of the three SAFCOAL employees who lost their lives, and as well as to SAFCOAL, as they were part of your organization. With things like health and safety and thunderstorm warnings, etc., what are your specific interventions going forward in this regard? Because we expect zero fatalities going forward. Secondly, I'm aware that the new board did ensure that action was taken against those allegedly, or the alleged, who committed the fraud. However, without going into the merits of the case, you need to provide us with the details, the who, the what, the when, the how much. That is not encroaching on the merits of the case, so don't use the excuse sub judice. This committee needs to know what happened and by whom, and specifically, where is this case within the legal process? Have you got a case number? Is it with the NPA? What's happening? Right. Then I want to know how SAFCOAL monitors the contracts it has with its the minor stakeholders, your Komani and Komati and Infloma and those people. I mean, obviously you work hand in glove with various things, and if SAFCOAL itself is suffering a $49 million loss, how are you assessing how your engagements with these subsidiaries are affecting your balance sheet? Are you doing checks and balances, audits and monitoring, etc.? It's quite clear that in terms of operational efficiency and your social development objectives, which includes economic transformation, SAFCOAL is lacking. I don't want to look at the specific people on the board or the people in this room today, as we fully understand that the changes have been made, which is good, and we'll see where that takes us. However, it boggles my mind that only 60% of your targets were achieved. Now, in many of the explanations, much of it was related to reduced lumber sales and your fleet, the aging fleet that had a lot of maintenance issues and breakdowns. And then looking at another presentation, you show an increased selling price, an increased revenue, and a record intake. So I'm not sure how an increased price, increased volume, increased intake, revenue, and then lumber sales and your operating expenditure have been noted as issues. Because in an answer to another committee member, was it your question? There was a point you made. I'll come back to that just now. But I just need to understand how that works. Right. And then in terms of maintenance and capitalization, you know, far too often we find government entities reactive, which means there isn't enough planning, forward thinking, etc. And maintenance and recapitalization, those are, you know, a no-brainer in any private or public enterprise. So what specific interventions are you looking at going towards your maintenance and recapitalization? I want to understand why and how the contract was entered with Rinking for only 1 month. It's a little bit bizarre. Why 1 month? Why not at all? Another question is with regards to the care and maintenance of Ifloma. Yeah. I don't see SAFCOL being a care and maintenance organization. Surely that can't be your core responsibility. So all of the resources and efforts that you are putting into basically trimming trees, that in my view, is definitely not core responsibility. So, and especially if you're hiring that land or you're custodian or whatever and hiring a forest from DAF, I mean, they must trim their own trees, for goodness sake. I know it's not trimming trees. I'm just using that as a metaphor. Right. In future presentations, thank you very much. You are the first entity who has come to this committee and brought your compact objectives. However, I would like to request that, for example, where you have set the targets of female senior management employees and disabled men and black, I'm sure we would like to see that as a percentage in terms of the entire organization. It's all very well saying 53, 23, 5. But what percentage is that in terms of the entire organization? Also, the specific interventions you are going to take. It's lovely to see your wish list and of aspirational strategic objectives. But this committee wants to know how. Thank you for saying we want to go from A to B, but we need to specifically know what interventions you are going to be putting into place so that we can ensure and provide the necessary oversight. And then the next time you come to this committee, we're going to ask you, how far are you on X, Y, and Z? This was the point that I got to earlier that my fellow member asked about whether SAFCOL is, you know, the main man in this industry. I want to know, is SAFCOL selling raw materials to any mattress to any manufacturers to transform into finished goods? The reason why I'm asking that relates to the land claims as well as your mandates for economic transformation. Now, if you are doing your harvests, and you are, of course, supplying Eskom with their poles, for example. Oftentimes, what South African public entities do is that they harvest the raw stuff, export it elsewhere, or sell it, and then public, private companies, etc., or overseas, do the beneficiation, do the value add, and then sell it back to us. It's completely ludicrous, especially when we have so many poor people on the ground, and 61% of your assets under land claim. That provides an opportunity for 61% of the people, well, people living within the 61%, for skills development, for diversification, for community beneficiation. So, and like my colleague who came before me, why aren't they stakeholders? Why aren't they shareholders in your company? Because a cash payout, as many of these claimants think, is perhaps the easiest and the fastest way out. Cash is here tomorrow, gone. I mean, here today, gone tomorrow. So how are you going to ensure that there is long-term beneficiation? Economic transformation is going to depend on acquiring new skills, diversification, and then going forward. And then in terms of your diversification, I can see Sihlalo, you're looking at me, I'm wrapping up now. Your diversification. I want to know specifically, have you approached human settlements, for example? There is a huge opportunity in this country for more green technologies, for more eco-sustainable housing materials, etc. Now, that is certainly an opportunity, and if you liaise with human settlements in terms of the requirements, then perhaps SAFCOL can look at incorporating these communities into transforming raw into these finished goods, which can then be used in human settlements to fasten up housing delivery, etc. Then I just wanted, the last question is, why was there a moratorium on the filling of the vacancies? Thank you. I'll stop there for now, Chair.
Who's next? Honorable Teddy? Oh, no, it's Honorable Nopanda first.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry about my voice. I don't know if you'll hear me properly. But my question is on... It's on the Auditor General's report, the recommendations he made regarding the fruitless expenditure and all that. I wanted to know, what is SAFCOL doing in implementing those recommendations? What are you going to do to make sure that we don't repeat what he has said, since it's the same thing as last year? The other one is on equipment repair versus maintenance. Is it not cheaper to rather replace this old equipment rather than always repairing it? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we appreciate the fact that under the circumstances you managed to get an unqualified audit opinion. But the question that comes to my mind is the impact of the work that you do on a daily basis to our people on the ground. I, as a politician who represents a constituency which is rural in nature,
that's the question that I always ask myself. So I'm mostly concerned about the impact of the work that you do. And I'm raising this thing especially in the light of the what is very key in terms of the objectives of this government, job creation. So I'm interested in knowing the contribution that SAPCOL in this current, in this financial year that we're talking about, it has made towards the objectives of government around the target of government in job creation. So I'm interested in knowing to what extent we contributed in the target of government in job creation. Secondly, it's I appreciate the work that you are doing in the area of people with disabilities. I've seen the figures, but I'm concerned about the level of the people that we're talking about. Where are they? So if you can as well share with us, are they at the level where they're able to assist in the campaign, influencing policy? Because more often we talk about us having people with disabilities, but they're not at the level where they're able to us to influence policy direction of the company as such. Enterprise development, the report says budget was only approved in the latter part of the year. What led to that kind of a situation? The second last one is, this report says very little or almost nothing about the social responsibility programs that you are conducting as a company. So all I'm saying is over and above the kind of work that you are doing from the social responsibility point of view, what interventions did you make in communities? As I've indicated, I represent a rural community in Vembe, in Mutale, and Njalel. So I'll be happy if you would then be able to explain to us what other interventions have you made as a company in the course of you doing the work that you're supposed to be doing. The shareholder as well, I'll appreciate, Chair, as we conclude, we're then able to get a general impression from the shareholder's point of view, ever as representing the shareholder, the general performance of the company. What is I'm not directing this one to SAPCO. I'm directing to ever is representing the shareholder. No, of course, there are representatives from the ministry. They can then be able to assist us in terms of the performance of the company from the shareholders' point of view. Where are we? Are we on track? What are the challenges? So I'll appreciate as you conclude if whoever is representing the shareholder can then be able to assist us so that we know exactly if we are on track, if there are challenges, where are they? Let me pause.
Madam Ranto?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have few direct questions. The first question is the involvement of SAPCOL or the relationship between SAPCOL, or let me also appreciate the presentation that has been given to us. The relationship of SAPCOL with the provinces, that is the provincial offices of the rural provinces that are not yet involved in the business with SAPCOL. I am asking this in the light that I know there are big forests in our province, Eastern Cape, but they are privately owned. some of them. Some of them are within municipalities, but municipalities have, because of the lack of skills within those municipalities, the municipalities have given over the plantation and the harvesting and whatever over to a private company. What is your role so as to take that back and also to be able to develop communities around there to see to it that they know the importance of having those forests around themselves. That also link with my next concern of outreaches, the programs that you have. If you have any outreach programs that you are doing all over the country, just to teach people about the importance of trees and the difference between that are meant to be destroyed and those that are meant to always be there for purposes of them being very scarce and maybe the purpose of them being for business. I also want to know, Chair, specifically to the board. I remember the former board members were dissolved. So I just wanted to check with you if there is any legacy report that has been left behind for you to take over with the challenges that you have put here in front of us. I think you would have taken them from the legacy report from the board members that were before you to be able to resolve some of the issues that are in front of you and the executive that was there, that the executive members that have resigned. The executive members that have resigned, maybe they don't have, maybe they've destroyed or they don't have their own legacy report, but the board that has been dissolved, they should be having a legacy report. I don't think it is just out of the blue for the new board to be sangomas and take and think of investigating something that they did not know. If there is a legacy report, what is that report saying about the executive that has resigned, and what is then your strategy or your plan to take it forward? Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. We'll now allow the chairperson through you for the executives to respond to those questions. But before they do that, I have a concern here on page, what page is it? Under your vertical,
integration.
Under your vertical integration, I just wanted to find out, when you talk about job creation, in your mind, what do you mean? Are you restricting it to the people you are employing as an entity, in the entity, or what is your vision? I'm raising this question because you will remember the NDP specifically put an emphasis on state-owned enterprises to assist in job creation and the development of the economy. So with your vision and your strategic objective, where do you place job creation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. In fact, what I propose to do is to deal with some of the questions that are in a way directed to the board, and then give the executive the opportunity to respond to management questions. May I start, Madam Chair, with your last question on the vertical integration. You see, vertical integration, maybe let me start by saying, when SAFCOL is looking at driving forestry industrialization, some people may be saying, but there's SAPE and Mondi, and we have other companies like PG Basin that are involved in other areas of industrialization. SAFCOL is specifically identifying areas of industrialization that involves infrastructure development. So if you look at SAPE and Mondi as an example, they make most of their money from high-value products that is even difficult to get into. If you want a pulp plant, apparently it costs about $1 billion, just to that kind of infrastructure. So, and of course, it also needs a lot of expertise. What we are looking at, the areas of industrialization where it's the thresholds of entry are even lower. Because when we talk about timber frame structures, for instance, our involvement in timber frame structures is to facilitate wood culture in the country, getting the country to appreciate the fact that building schools, clinics, hospitals, even houses with wood is faster and cheaper, and of course, it's even green. You know, what we have done through the CSI projects thus far indicate that we can be cost effective and we can be in a position to provide the products faster. But SAFCOL does not intend to be a construction company. SAFCOL is creating, in fact, is throwing a cat between pigeons even when it comes to the construction industry, because it's forcing the construction industry now to begin to look for new skills, which is basically more on wood direction instead of just bricklayers. And this is also opening up the construction industry for new role players to come in. That is also where the black industrialization is coming. But over and above that, the initial timber frame structures that we are dealing with, they are basic, using your natural wood, but the advancement which can readily be attained as well, because it's already tested somewhere else, in terms of engineered wood, that includes OSB, that is used mostly in Northern America, like US and Canada, as well as in Europe. It's something that we can use, because we are currently wasting a lot of the tree. And with that portion that is not being used for the trusses and other things, that can be used for OSB and other panels that would also be very useful and strong, for that matter, for in building. There are about 150 products that come out of a tree, and we have not even touched the tip, and the opportunities are endless, Madam Chair. So when we talk about job creation under vertical integration, so we're not only looking at SAFCOL establishing these manufacturing plants, but we are also encouraging other industrialists, in fact, people who are interested, to come on board and begin to identify areas. In fact, to that end, we are in the process, as we speak, of organizing a forum that we have a tentative date of February next year, for what we expect to be Forestry Industrialization Summit, where we get all the role players to come on board and at the same time get the country to begin to appreciate the need for the wood culture. So there are processes that we are involved in, and we believe that job creation there is not only going to be at the highest level, where it's going to need maybe the investment of $200 million and above. There's already indication, for instance, from CSIR to the effect that if someone wants to produce glue from wood, they have done some calculations, and they indicated that there are even portable plants that should not be costing more than 5 million rand to get that. And these are the things they are currently importing, and that can be produced from even the portion that you are not using from wood, as you speak. So the possibilities, Madam Chair, are endless. And we believe that with the summit, the Forestry Industrialization Summit that we are looking at, we will begin to identify and show what opportunities can be there, what jobs can be created. But over and above that, Madam Chair, as SAFCOR, we are having a total relook at Platoran, which is our training institute within SAFCOR, so that it's in a position to respond to our strategy as well as in what we call forestry industrialization, so that we don't get a situation where we do not have the skills of what we say we want to do. But in addition, also to provide support to the small and medium-sized companies that want to get involved, so that we are also taking them into consideration when we look at the offering of Platoran. So it's broader, Madam Chair, and we are acting on it as we speak. We are not just talking about it. See, there are plans, there are processes. And then when it comes to the question on the legacy report from the previous board, I'm sure the representatives of the department will also assist. But when we were appointed, we were told that the chairperson of the acting chairperson of the previous board was expected to give the report by the end of August. We were appointed on the 17th of August, effective from the 18th of August last year. And that report never came. I also made follow-ups myself with the former chairperson, and he promised to deliver, and that never happened. To date, all what the board and the current management is doing are things that we are basically finding out ourselves. So there's no legacy report, both from the board side as well as from management. But what we have done is we have accessed the information that is available, and we have acted on the basis of that information and added on it. That's basically what we are doing, that what has made us to be where we are now. With regard to SAFCOL's relationship with the provinces, particularly the provinces where SAFCOL does not have operations, with the assistance of our shareholder, we have started interactions with the provinces. We have been to the Eastern Cape, meeting the Premier. We have also been to the Northern Cape. We have also been to the Northwest. So we have, there are processes that we have moved on so that we establish those relationships, both in terms of what we can assist with in the province as well as part of what the provinces can get from our timber frame structures projects. So that we have already started. We have had meetings. We have certain interactions already. And with regard to SAFCOR's contribution towards objectives in job creation, I think the answer that I've already given, I think it deals with that. The impact of work SAFCOR does in rural areas. If you look at the impact of SAFCOR on job creation, currently the records that are before the members, or that have passed through the members. In fact, in our last presentation last year, we had indicated that there's about 20,000 people in South Africa that go to bed having eaten something because SAFCOL is there. See, we have indicated in terms of the number of employees that SAFCOL employs directly and those that are employed by the service providers. And so that's what is there now. But, of course, the process now that we're talking about with regards to moving forward forestry industrialization, it's a process that is not only going to, that should create more jobs, but it's also a process that would lead to a lot of skilling and a lot of downstream processing, you know, which effectively means that it will provide a lot more new skills that are currently not being not available. So there's more job creation. There's more also skills and new industries that are being developed or will be developed as part of this process. On approaching human settlements, the Department of Human Settlements, as part of the diversification, we have not approached human settlements directly, but as SAFCOL, we have communicated with our shareholder to facilitate that meeting. But we have, at the same time, we have had our first meeting with IDT for the purposes of looking as to how we can assist each other in the process of our timber frame structures as against the alternative building material that can be exploited by government. Maybe a correction on the questions on the points that were raised regarding Rinking. The report indicates that the contract with Rinking was for 8 months, not 1 month. Yes. So just to correct that. And on with regard to the court case, in fact, it's not a court case. It's a number of court cases because there are a number of individuals that include some former executives that are implicated. So there's a number of court cases because the activities are not necessarily activities that were said to be conducted collectively. So there's a number of court cases where the Hawks and the NPA are involved. And unfortunately, at the moment, I don't think it would be wise to disclose the names. Yes. Yes. Because until the people have been arrested and appeared in court, then it's always the correct way to do it. Otherwise, we would be making those people to be judged by public court. So that also includes the details. The question as to the details of what happened and by whom. That's part of that process. And I will ask the acting CEO to on the appointment of 2RM, which is basically the company that was appointed in December 2015, that in some press reports there are allegations that the CEO and the CFO resigned because they were opposed to the appointment of 2RM as well as the process. The process that was followed by the board was a process that was a proper process in terms of the laws of South Africa that Safcol respect. And by the way, if that process was not a correct process, the AG would have flagged in this report that is before the committees we speak. So the fact that the AG itself did not pick up any issue with regard to that appointment, it indicates that there is nothing wrong with the process that was followed. And in fact, the declaration, in fact, the reason there was a process where certain newspapers approached, in fact, the current acting CEO about his relationship with a John Duarte and why that was not declared. And in fact, the newspapers, according to what the acting CEO responded to, the newspapers were given the correct information that there is no business relationship between Mr. John Duarte and Mr. Gabriel Terron. And this was given to them. In fact, they were even referred to the CIPC for them to check the records dating back. And any person who can go and check those records will realize that, in fact, the press report was, in fact, deliberately misleading when it comes to that. And as the board, because we did not want to take the matter lying down, as the board, we asked the acting CEO to explain to the board so that we don't hear matters from the press, but we hear from him. And the explanation that was given to us, we, as a board, we accepted that that explanation was an acceptable explanation, and we could not falter the acting CEO on the matter. So there was not even a need, in as far as the board was concerned, for Mr. Terron to have declared a conflict of interest. I will hand over to Mr. Terron to respond as CEO and certain other questions asked by the honourable members. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with a little bit of a background with regards to Safcol and its position in the market. I think that will address a lot of the questions that was raised as well. And as I go, you'll see that it will address certain questions. So hopefully I'll make sure that I get to everything. But if I miss something, please just tell me. So with regards to Safcol, the current setup of Safcol and the perception of Safcol in the market is to be a company that supplies raw material, full stop. That is how the market perceives us, and that's where they want us. The problem with that is it's not sustainable for Safcol. And it's not, and you were rightly saying that South Africa is known to sell its resources and then buy it back as a product, and it doesn't make sense. So, and the new board and executive team, we've realized this, and we are in the process of changing that approach. And I'll get through how we're changing it. But I wanted to start with the perception. Even in government, I'll make an example. At the World Forestry Conference last year, in Durban, Safcol was not once mentioned as a forestry company that's active in South Africa or Africa. And that shows you that even within our own government, we don't know Safcol as what we're supposed to be doing in government. It goes then to the branding exercise. Now, if you look at the current structure, we have Safcol holding entity, and we have Kumati Land, which is the second subsidiary, and then Ifloma that falls under Kumati Land currently. Now, from a branding point of view, if you go out to our operations, it's Kumasi. If you come to Pretoria, it's Safcom. And with that, it creates such... How do you market something if you don't even know internally who you are? And what we went to board with is to say, we need to get to a place where we have one brand, one voice. Because you can't market something if the community knows you as one thing, the industry knows you as something else. How are we going to get to a place where we can market one brand, and especially if we want to go up in Africa, who are we? So that was the approach we took to say, let's rebrand, stay with, you can see the new logo that we have, but combine. So obviously there's certain cost implications and all of that, and we're busy sorting all of those things out, and we have a strategy in terms of how we're going to roll it out. But that was the method behind the madness. It was also to bring Safcrawl a little bit more to the modern world, from a look and feel point of view. So I think hopefully I addressed that issue. With regards to, let me handle this now, with regards to the losses that are reoccurring. Now, because we find ourselves in a place where we are selling our raw material and we're getting so little for our raw material. And I'll make an example. It was mentioned that we are selling poles to Eskom, for example. We are not. We are selling it to a third party who then adds the value and sell it at 3 times the price to Eskom. And that is where the issue lies. So, and we've taken that matter up with our shareholder, so that, and if you look at Safcrawl a couple of years ago, and this will touch on a couple of things. Before the privatization, we would have been the biggest forest owner in Africa. If that didn't happen, we used to have more sawmills. We used to have pole treatment facilities, and we used to be profitable. With the privatization that happened, a lot of those things were cut off. Now we're not in all the provinces, so we're looking after the communities where we are dealing in those areas. So, and Safcrawl is so small currently that we can't help all the communities across South Africa and all the various provinces. We focus our energy in the provinces that we operate in. But having said that, all our treatment facilities for poles or everything was closed down, and that is what we are now moving back to say, no, we need to add the value and sell it to get us to a profitable state again. So that is where we're moving to. With regards to land claims, and I tried to touch on it now, but I'll expand a little bit on this. The view was always, there's one person in the company that handles that, and leave him, he'll go and he'll do his thing. Land claims is such a significant thing, or I don't want to call it problem/opportunity for Safcrawl, in that it is, land claims will either kill this company or it will make it grow bigger. And if we don't act as Safcrawl now, we're going to lose that land to our competition. And we know it. The land claim model that we are, the land leaseback model that we are currently have is not a sustainable model. It will not work. And that is the model that's currently being sold to the communities, and that's where land reform is pushing us and saying that's what you need to sell. But it's not a sustainable model. That's what the other companies are doing, but it's not sustainable. We are not looking out for our communities. And I've actually tasked the team internally to start with a new model that hopefully by December we can take to our board. And basically the basis of that model is to say, how do we, first of all, uplift our communities? How do we involve them in our operations? Because in all these community sessions that we go to, they say, we need to benefit from what your operations are doing. So can we not harvest? And the problem is you bring in contractors, they bring in their own people from elsewhere, they do the work here by us, and we are not benefiting anything. So the approach now will be, no, if there's harvesting happening in this community area, we'll involve that community. And the long-term view is to say that community must almost take over those contracts long-term. And we need to now align, because that's another problem that I have, is that we are not aligned in terms of ECD, ED, CSI projects in terms of where we want to go with this. So we are building a school here, a clinic here, but it's not focused. So now what we do is we say, no, let's do our ED projects so that we can get the community to have transport contracts, so they can now service us to do transport in that area. Let's help them to do firefighting for us, planting for us, weeding for us. And in that way, we're actually looking out for a couple of things. We first of all, we keep the communities in the area, so there's not an influx of the communities into urban areas. We can give them income in their areas. We can also now start, because there's a massive lack of skill in terms of this industry in this country. And we have been traveling this year to see what the other countries are doing. And what we've realized is South Africa is so far behind. If you look at the wood culture, it comes to a big surprise, and I must be honest, it was a surprise to us as well, that there's skyscrapers now that 35 stories built out of wood overseas. There's a massive drive to using wood because it's sustainable. It's stronger than concrete. There was a saying that they said if the World Trade Centers was built out of wood, it wouldn't have collapsed. And I won't go into why, but that was a saying. But the reason, the point that I'm making is we are so far behind, and it starts with our children, because we are a brick and mortar society. We believe if it's not brick or mortar, it's not quality. And we need to change that perception. If you look at the Northern Hemisphere, 75% of their houses are built out of wood. So why, wooden timber frame structure. So why are we different? And then if you look at the coastal line here, all the high-end houses built out of wood, if you go up in the Garden Route. So the perception is wrong. And how we're starting to change that perception is through our CSI project. So we're building the schools, we're building the clinics out of wood. And as soon as you walk into that facility and you say, well, this is actually a wood structure, but it's not a shack. It is actually something that's beautiful. We're starting the perception change there. Now, going back to our communities, if we can uplift our communities and we can start training them in the forestry and get them involved in planting a tree, looking after that tree, then by the time they go to university, they might say, you know what, I want to learn more about this tree, or I want to be able to build with this tree, or I want to be able to design a building with this tree. And we start creating that culture. We've been in talks with the university as well. We have a chair there on the forestry side, and we've had a discussion with them, and we said, guys, we now need to renew that contract. And we said, we're happy to. However, we need your architects and your engineers to be part, because if we don't get them, their mindset there, they're not going to design it in wood. They're not going to know that they can, they don't know the wood qualities. For structural strength and all of that. So if we don't start there, this industry is never going to develop. Now back to our industry. With regards to the industry thinking that we should just supply the sawmills, they will cut it and they will make the profit. The problem that we are sitting with as South Africa is that some of these sawmills get a yield of as low as 30%. So that means they cut a tree that we grow for 30 years, and they can only use 30% of it. 70% of it, they burn, they throw away. So you're asking us, why are we making losses? That's why we're making losses, because we're losing our product. So now And every time we want to do something, so we say we want to upgrade a mill, we want to, because we see that as soon as the current industry, if you look at it, looks like a pyramid. So at the top you have your, you have us, and then you have your sawmillers. Now, under that, there's all these other opportunities. OSB, which is a fiber board. There's all these other things you can do. Now, the problem that you have is you're constrained by these top guys. And every time we move to try and open one of these channels to get more this industry going, these guys run to Competition Commission and they say, no, Safcol's doing this, they're controlling the market, they're not fair. So, and that is the problem that we have. And from we've had this discussion with DTI and a couple of other stakeholders, even our own shareholder, where we said, we need, from a political side, we need to sit as government, we need to understand where this industry must go. And that is the problem. There's no focus in this, in government, in terms of what we need to do in the wood industry. And everybody's got their own ideas, and they listen to the sawmillers that wants to control this industry, but it's holding us back. Land claims I've dealt with. Safcol subsidiary and setup. With regards to this, we did look at the structure. If you look at the current structure, you have Safcol at the top as an investment entity, which is supposed to be. It's not currently run as that, but it's supposed to be an investment entity. Under that, you'll have your KLF, which is the operating entity in forestry. Under that one, you'll have Ifloma, with the 80% share that KLF owns and 20% share the local partner in Mozambique. What should actually happen is that Ifloma should sit one level up and sit under Safcol and not under KLF. That should be the right structure. The other two companies are dormant companies at this point in time. We must be careful saying dormant. There's certain activities still running within them. We have a certain assets still within them, but the plan is to pull them up into the Safcol entity. But in terms of operations, there's not much happening within them. Ifloma is a very hot potato currently. From my understanding, when the Ifloma investment was done, it was always a long-term investment. And now we're looking a couple of years down the line and we're saying, why is it not making money? When the investment was done back in those days, Safcol was in a completely different state than it is today in terms of cash flow and cash in bank. So the risk appetite was completely different. The problem that we're sitting with today is we're still investing money into Ifloma and we're saying, and the AG is asking us, but are we going to recoup our investment? And what are the chances of us recouping this investment? And for the last couple of years, rightly said, nothing has been happening there. It was basically left. For what reasons, I cannot answer that. The only thing from my side is we realize that it's something we need to change. We currently have, as we speak, we have a team that's deployed there to come back with a full report to board to say, what can we do? What is our options? And what is realistically what we can expect from Ifloma? And then from there, we can then do a recommendation to the shareholder as to what would be the best option for the group or for Safcol. From the AG's point of view, they said, you've invested 300 million into Ifloma. If you can't show us that there's a possibility of turnaround and a possibility that you will be able to recoup that funds, we are going to have to impair, which means Safcol is going to have to take that loss in this financial year coming. So yes, it's a burning issue for us, and we are, as management and the board, we are really pressing to turn that around. Okay, it was mentioned that you don't understand why there's an increase in price
and volume. And record revenue.
Yes. 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 All right. So, if you look at the targets, you'll see that our volume achieved was slightly lower than budgeted. All right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, what it meant in the market, so those figures are actually not ours. Those figures, the record highs, the 8% growth on the price or whatever, that's market related. So, what it meant was we actually did lower than expected volume in that financial year. However, we got a higher price, which meant that led to an increase in our revenue. But it was because we didn't actually make our volume targets, but because of the increased price, we got a higher increase in revenue. With regards to the maintenance and... Yes. Now, a lot of that we need to first take back to where the source is, and a lot of that will go back to Timbadola. Now, yesterday I shared with the portfolio committee, and I should have actually given you a little bit more detail on Timbadola. Timbadola was designed as a 80,000 cube intake sawmill. It is currently, if you look at the report, we did 131,000 intake last year, which is a record high. So it's a little bit contradictory if you look at our shareholders' compact and you look at in the report, we say it's a record high, it's an achievement, but yet we didn't make our targets. But we need to be fair. So we need to look at, first go back to the target and say, well, was that reasonable? Was it a reasonable target? If we say the 130,000 was actually an achievement, it's the highest we've ever gone. So then you look at the target and you say, maybe the target wasn't realistic. But having said that, we are running a double shift in that sawmill. We're running it at way over, well, it's almost double its capacity. And we're sitting with some equipment that's in there that's 100 years old. So I think actually, under the circumstances, the Timbadola guys actually did a lot with what they have. It is in the plans to upgrade the Timbadola sawmill, but if you go back, you'll probably see that it was in the plans last year and the year before as well. However, we're at a point now where I was uncomfortable with the feasibility studies that was done. And we need to do just a high-level feasibility as to the location of Timbadola. And once that is concluded and we're all comfortable with the results, then we can go ahead with the upgrade for that process of upgrading the mill. In our shareholders' compact that we discussed with our shareholder, we have catered for the volumes to come down so that we can do the upgrade. So going forward in the next... years. Rinking, the chairperson already sorted out. Maybe just as clarification, on your question with what interventions are you putting in place, can you be a little bit more specific on those?
Sure. This is just... generally, in terms of your strategic objectives and your strategic direction, it's all very well to say that we want to do vertical, horizontal, etc. We want to achieve this, that. But as I explained, our role as a committee is to check the targets, check your commitments, and then do the necessary monitoring and evaluation. And where necessary, in engagement with your shareholders, say, no, we don't think you should be doing this. So generally, what I was going to propose, Madam Chair, is that each entity should report to this committee once a quarter. And at these committee meetings, we should have a quarterly report of the targets, the various issues that we've discussed. So, for example, they've mentioned IFLOMA, land claims, their diversification, their restructuring. There's a couple of other things. So they've raised these as issues in answers to our questions. Now we have to say, well, what are you going to do about it specifically? And then when we see them in the next quarter, they have to report specifically on what they've done. You won't be able to do that today. However, you should at least start preparing to tell us, well, this is not commercially sensitive information. These are interventions that you are going to undertake, like your chairperson. It was very interesting to hear some of the things he was talking about. But, you know,
okay.
Thank you.
Now, on that one, Honorable Stander, I was also saying when we wrap up, we'll have to focus on issues which need follow-up, including the issues you are raising in terms of the status of IFLOMA in the next meeting, the competition board in relation to what the shareholder is doing to assist you to do more diversification, the issues of the report in relation to the resignation of the executive management. Those are the issues we will have to discuss in the next meeting. Yeah, the new land claims model. We'll be looking into that, and also we will be comfortable if maybe the board or the executive can, in the meantime, start practically to indicate to us what is their forest in their industrialization plan you are talking about. Not in theory, but we need to have a roadmap. What are you going to do moving forward? Interacting with the IDT, interacting with other stakeholders to make sure when you come, we have that plan in place.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Right. Specific interventions, and I'm going to take this into the timber frame structure as well. As I discussed earlier, the poles is something we bring to board now for approval, so that we can get back into the pole market. We've already had discussions with our shareholder to assist us in their discussions. Timber frame structure is something we are driving very, very hard. We're also taking a proposal to board with regards to a small facility that's not going to cost too much, but just so that we can start building panels, so that we can speed up the actual manufacturing of these facilities. There was a point earlier on the housing issue, and the point that I raised earlier with regards to the perception, it's still difficult, and that is why we're starting with the clinics, the schools, and that so that in the community you can get used to before you say, well, I can actually stay in this as well. So that is the approach you're taking. So that's the one market we're looking at. Then there's the other markets that the guys with the holiday house or the second house or that market is also quite a nice market. If you can have, you just bought a small place by the dam or in the bush somewhere, and it's a complete green design. So you have a completely off-the-grid house that you can order. Yeah. So you can order that house, and 3 months later you can go in, everything is done, and it's completely off the grid. That is the other model that we are looking at as well. So it's on various ends, but we need to be realistic as well. You need to start somewhere and build it gradually up. And as the chairperson also said, we're not planning to start a new mandate for ourselves. We're not a construction company. We are purely the guys that will be able to supply the material. Not the raw material, but hopefully in panels, and all of those things, so that we can start stimulating other business. And it goes back to the industrialization plan, is how do we then pull in those guys to start new businesses in this industry. So yes, there's specific things that we are currently doing. A lot of it's going to our board meeting this coming, or next week actually. It's also our annual strategy session, so that we can align everything to make sure this is what we're doing and it's still within our strategy and this is where we're going. Why was there why did we stop the hiring of skill? Yeah, the monitoring. We did not stop in terms of the executives. That was a process that was running. From the board made a recommendation to the minister with regards to the CEO position, which we're still waiting on feedback. The only two that still vacant, the minister at our AGM also asked us, do we really need a COO? And that is something we're busy reviewing. So the only one that's pressing now is the senior HR. The reason why there was a moratorium placed was for the last, 5 years, there has been a PwC project running in terms of restructuring the entire company. We picked that up and we've made a lot of changes to it. When we came in, I realized that it's very difficult, there's no transparency within the company in terms of reporting. I'm struggling to get the information where I want it. And the other thing from a practical point of view that you're having within the company is you'll have your forest division that is responsible for planting and cutting trees. Then it goes over to our processing, which is responsible for whatever you get, you process and you get measured there. Now what we're having is once you cut, you leave it, and now the fight is between the forestry side and the processing side to say, I've done my work, now it's your problem. And then the company ends up with losses in between. Or there might be a delay and your quality goes down, your wood, or whatever the case. So what my approach is to say, no, let's split it into regions. So we have a region, the north region, a central region, and a Highveld region. And then Ifloma, because Ifloma was left. Nobody ever looked at Ifloma. So we have the four regions. Then what you do is you combine. You say, you are now responsible for end product. Not only when you, because now suddenly it becomes your problem, because only when it's sold. And if you leave your product too long and it goes blue, then you're going to feel it when you need to sell it. So you don't no longer pass the buck. Now with that, there's structural implication within the company. Just by creating those groups. But by creating those groups, I can now also start benchmarking against each other. I can go and say, why is your cost for transport more expensive than that per kilometer per cube? Why is your fuel higher? And you can start seeing where those red areas are popping up way before you get to the end of the year and you start pulling your figures. And then it's all intertwined in any case. So it's very difficult to get transparency. So that is the one thing that we're driving. The other thing that was not mentioned was with regards to our ecotourism. Now, if you look at other forestry companies worldwide, some of them, they generate up to 70% of their bottom line comes from tourism. Safco is not really benefiting from, or we're not exploiting what we can. So currently we have a due diligence that's being done, specifically around our asset in terms of tourism, so that we can see how can we leverage that better. And I've also moved, currently, when we started, it was under forestry. So that income would go into the forestry on the financial side. So we could not determine how much are we actually getting from tourism. And there was no real driver person in the seat to say, this is where we're taking it, this is what we want to do. Do we have proper security in place? Are we collecting everything at the gate? So those things are now also a profit center. So we're moving away from the cost center approach. We're making everything profit centers to say, I want to see your performance and I'm going to measure your bottom line. Ecotourism has been moved out of forestry. It's standalone. Under ecotourism, or call it immovable assets is what we call it, because we also have, we have housing, we have certain sawmills that's leasing land from us where they are situated, we have communication towers. So all of those things used to be reported into forestry. So there was no transparency. I could also not see that, are we collecting for every single tower that we have? So with the exercise we've done now, now I have that clarity. Now I can see, do we have the contracts in place? Yes. Are we collecting? When are they expiring? All of those type of things. So from that point of view, we're driving profit centers. So we've identified a couple within the company. But now, going back to the structure, that has direct implication on our structure. So what we've done is we actually met with our management team about a month ago. Because what the perception was previously was the management came back and said, but we were never really involved in this process with PwC. And there was a big resistance against it. So I pulled in the entire management team and I said, okay, start your process. If you have this, this is the vision of the company. This is where we're going. I don't want you to look at the PwC structure. I don't want you to look at your own structure now. As a business owner, what would you do for your division that you run in? And what would you need from a structural point of view? And all of them went and started clean paper, they drew their structures, they came back, they presented to the entire management team, who then interrogated and said, but you don't need that, you need this, or whatever the case. And we have now finalized that, we're in the process of finalizing that, and that will go to board in December to say, from the business, this is what we feel we need. To basically look after your structure, or and your strategy going forward. So I hope that addresses that issue as to why we stopped the recruitment, because we don't want to end up with recruiting positions and then you end up a year later saying we don't have a spot for you anymore. Sorry.
Excuse me, Gabriel, if you can just maybe wind up. Of time.
All right. I'm pretty much done, Madam Chair. I think there was one or two issues that we skipped on, which was regard the AG, the fruitless and wasteful expenditures and controls, which I think Trish can just handle. There was why was the budget late? It's been a problem within Safco that everything was done last minute, which led to delays. And this was a problem right through. The new management, we've addressed those issues. Certain things are still creeping in here and there, but I think overall, from the investigation that we've done, a lot of the control issues that was identified by that investigation, as well as the AG, as well as our internal auditors, we've been starting to clean up all of those. So I'm comfortable to say that late budgets is a thing of the past. We've also introduced a new thing. A lot of these things, your budgets, your KPIs, all of those was a copy and paste exercise in the past. So now what we're saying is, I want a demand plan to say, what are you planning to spend in the next year? So you start doing planning. Sorry? Yeah, we're cutting those and we're fixing. There's a big drive from that side. We've changed our SEM policy. We've changed our delegation to put stringent controls and so we know what's going on. I think Trish, if you can maybe just sort out the fruitless and wasteful. Then there was a question regarding the social. Which I think you've got extra slide or two. And I think that
That concludes everything from my side. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Trish, are you responding to this?
Thank you. Okay, on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and I'll touch on the irregular as well. So these were key concerns, obviously, coming through from a number of prior years. So like the acting CEO said, one of the key initiatives that we've actually undertaken now is to centralize our procurement. Now, in an entity as big as Safco that operated in a decentralized environment, you'll understand this creates a number of efficiency issues. However, from a control perspective and a monitoring perspective, it had to be done at this stage. So we've centralized procurement. We've also changed the delegation to make it much lower in terms of management outside of us that can actually make decisions. To do this, the plan that we've put in place is to actually just get an understanding of the procurement requirements. At Safco, there was never a procurement plan as such. So if you had to look at the plan for the year to budget appropriately in terms of timing and cash flow, it was lacking. So this has now been put in place to say, business, give us your need. Let us ensure that, in fact, it is a need that we need to entertain, and then how do we go forward with that? We're also looking at the timing of our cash flow, which we're managing very closely. So in terms of now actually taking into account the recommendations and implementing it, there was a change of the supply chain management policy. There was the change of the delegation of authority. These still are going through to the board at the next board meeting, which is next week, Thursday. And together with that, the problem that or the root cause of a lot of it was not the absence of a policy or procedure, but rather implementation thereof, monitoring and evaluation. And because we also had a number of cases, there were people involved in this. So it's override of management controls as opposed to not having something at all. So with the change of leadership and now with stricter monitoring and control, yes, we have lesser time to work on our strategic goals, but we are trying to maintain and gain some control in that in those aspects. In terms of fruitless and wasteful, it was very limited in the prior financial year. It was mostly due to VAT returns, which were corrected, and there was a penalty on that. It was very minimal. However, going forward, we are monitoring how we record this. Do we actually evaluate from a business point of view? We're also doing training to the business. Like I say, it is such a it's a big entity, so we need to ensure that everyone understands supply chain, they understand treasury regulations, PFMA, and we've started with the supply chain section. How do we define fruitless and wasteful? There's still an understanding of irregular being fruitless and wasteful. So we needed to correct that and actually educate so that people can highlight these things to management. And so the accountability will lie with business. However, we will strictly monitor and control from above. Then I think on the socioeconomic mandate, just to look at that, so just to go through some of the projects, more than 10 community projects were completed in 2015-2016. Over 7.5 million spent in that year. Safco has built 6 timber frame structures for various communities adjacent to the operations. So these include classrooms, early childhood development centers, community halls, school kitchens. Then there were 2 brick and mortar facilities had been constructed for the Kaduma Village and Kwadan Danteka in Mpumalanga, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Then there was to address water shortages in local villages. There were 3 boreholes that were drilled and equipped for Prince Somkuba Primary School in KwaZulu-Natal and Songweswi and Makwada communities in the Limpopo provinces. There was also a training center that had been renovated for the Mahobe village close to Zanin in Limpopo. And the other infrastructures completed, it's just smaller projects such as fences or refurbishments that were done. I hope that covers. Thank you.
Honourable members, I think time is running out. I will take the last round so that we are quick. Honorable Matisse and Honorable Stander, you will be the last. Oh, Honorable, the doctor. Oh, okay. Let's try to be short as possible.
Thank you, Chair. The acting CEO didn't answer my question directly on whether he is or indirectly, whether it's a business relationship or personal relationship with Duarte, John Duarte, I think it is. Just quickly, the rumored or alleged allegations that he's been involved with him regarding the 10 million rand, was it 10 million or 10 billion rand tender? 10 million rand tender. Just quickly on industrialization, and we don't really need to comment about this, but I'm trying to see how we can connect land claimants with industrialization. So say, for example, the board chair mentioned that to start like building an industrialized plant, you need to invest like, what, a billion rand, I think you said? Something to that extent, right, if we need to start that industrialization. But land claimants, you're going to look in at a land claimant and a payout of equally the same amount of money. So I think some of your models that you should look into is on how to reinvest or redirect that money into being able to build an industrialized state where the land claimants can actually benefit. We develop our skills here in the country instead of exactly what we were saying, just paying out money and that there's nothing going on. So while that's not your core business, you know, you can facilitate that process instead of just paying money out for land claimants and the money being re-diverted. Secondly, the board chair, you indicated that the board was happy with the response that the acting CEO gave after those media reports. My question is that why didn't you take those media reports, I think it was Business Day or something, and whoever reported to the press ombudsman? I don't think you want to start or go into starting to build or rebrand the entity and having this cloud hanging over you. So I think those are very important things that need to be addressed. If there's nothing to say, there's nothing to say. But you also can't come to us and say that the board accepted the explanation, so we should also accept the explanation. I mean, for all we know, that the board could have been in cahoots with the acting CEO, and that's what could have happened. I'm not saying that is the case, but I'm just saying that you must understand we're here to hold you accountable. So the board can't just say, yeah, we're happy, and that should be the end of it for us. So I think we should note for when they come back that we must be able to have a clear explanation, or we want to know what's going on. Also, regarding board chair, you saying you can't tell us about who has been charged. I don't see why you can't tell us. Have they been charged already? And once they've been charged, there's no issue with saying the following people have been charged. But if the case has just been opened, there's also nothing wrong with saying we've opened a case against X, Y, and Z. So we want to know who's been charged. And this is going to be another matter that will just go on and on and on 5 years later, and then soon we just forget about it. So I think it must be dealt with. If people have been charged, we have a right to know. We're not asking you to comment on the merits, but if the merits of the cases. But if they've been charged, everyone, there's no big secret. Someone's been charged, they've been charged. So just speak to that, and I'm covered. I did speak about the issue of industrialization and land claimants and trying to see how we can find each other in the new model. I did mention that, hey? Okay, thank you.
Airway? You said must stay standard. Jim? I akunaki si shalo. Okay, ma'am? Chairperson? So many state entities are thwart with irregular expenditure, etc. And we understand that SAFCOL is coming from, you know, a change of model from public to private, and now it's kind of trying to get back to some kind of public path again to meet its mandate, which, as I'll have to disagree with my fellow honourable member, industrialization is a core mandate of public entities, and that's exactly what I was touching on earlier. Some ideas for the chairperson and the CEO, where you were talking about there's not enough demand or expertise for your current products. Government, SAFCOL shouldn't be promoting the benefits of wood industry on its own. For example, Transnet, they can use your product for rail. Eskom, I'm sorry, Chair, I'm flabbergasted that Eskom is buying poles at three times the production cost. So we need to find out how that happened. Mm-hmm. Human settlements. Mm. I've brought up the thing about perception before. If human settlements keeps building brick and mortar structures, of course that's just what's expected. But there needs to be a move towards that. Department of Environmental Affairs. You've got all of the South African nature reserves with, you know, camps that need caverns and things like that. So partnering with existing governments, and if it is your shareholder who needs to do that, then Minister Brown must do it, and she needs to talk to these people and say, hey, if we have mandated as cabinet or government this this department to meet the objectives of economic transformation, black industrialists, etc., and these companies have to be commercially viable, then we need to do X, Y, and Z. However, comma, not at the expense of competition. Now, when you were talking about your the hierarchy with SAFCOL and then the other sawmills and then all of your others beneath and, you know, the second level kind of getting stuck in between, there is another way to create a demand for your products. And thinking of going to Home Magazine or whatever of these you were talking about, the homes, I mean, that exactly what you are talking about. I'm in the process of building a completely off-the-grid wood house. But you know where I'm getting my information from? America and Europe, especially from Germany and those kinds of areas. Now, that's madness. We should be promoting that. Now, how about engaging with universities, architects, you know, the architectural professors, and saying, across nationally, each university, encourage your students to propose a design, and then SAFCOL is the hands out awards for that kind of thing. So, you know, it is possible to think outside the box and do what. And then you were talking about your ecotourism. Well, why don't you take those 100-year-old Timbodola machines and create a museum as you are recapitalizing. No, guys, look, government entities are full of issues with planning, monitoring, evaluation, implementation of policy, corruption. From what you guys are saying in response to my questions and that kind of thing, Madam Chair, I think we're encouraged, but we will be watching with a hawk eye. My fellow honourable member raised the point I wanted to. Dictele I case details. Ka. Asifuni merits. Godwa. The details are a matter of public record. You don't have to say whether you agree or disagree. When whoever went to the police station, they say, I'm laying a course against Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, and these are the allegations, and then there was an affidavit, etc. Now, if there is, Chairperson, you mentioned the hawks. If, of course, there are sensitive investigations. And I'm talking about, you know, if there's behind the scenes investigating to find out more, we don't want to know about those, but I'm not sure whether the chairperson would either. But the facts that have been submitted to the police, Sifune Yaz. Thank you.
Honorable Yenge?
Just briefly, Chair, in the interest of time, there was no response in the question that relates to the action that was taken by the current board as against the conduct of the then CEO and the money's consent. Maybe it's not that important. And then nothing was said about the asset management, the inventory holding, and also depreciation and disposal policies. No, nothing about that. And then an additional question now is about also the effect of the land claims in the activities, because it was mentioned in the presentation that the issue of the land claims, then I qualified it to say the issue of land claims cannot stall the processes of development. So if there are effects to that respect, they must present it, and then we are aware. And then on the issue of marketing, it's an additional question. The marketing, I don't think Safcol is doing much in terms of marketing, because before I came here, I knew nothing about something called Safcol. I thought it was one of the powdered soaps, to say. And then it's a very important entity like this one. It is not known in the rural areas. We see these big trucks, you know, those trees carried to Pidgey Bison. We don't know that there is this kind of entity which is very important. But you are not selling your product, and the organization is not known. And go.
It's not a powder soap company. But, now, on a serious note, with all what we are hearing about Safcol, I think the buck stops with the shareholder itself. We get a sense that the shareholder is not even bothering to nothing at all. Things which we are hearing here, they are really disturbing. So we need to convene a meeting with the shareholder just to take us through what's happening at Safcol. We can't afford to have all these things. The AG has raised 44 million loss in terms of fraud and theft. That's it means lot. People are just looting. Nobody says anything. Nobody sees anything. It can be.
The company.
Mm-hmm. Honorable.
I agree.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, it has been our call since we got into this committee. I was also like Honorable Luyeng. I heard of Safcol when I got into this committee. I've never heard of the company of Safcol. I knew Pidgey Bison, I knew Sabi, I knew this, but Safcol, Mondi, I know Mondi. But Safcol, I've never heard of Safcol. I only heard about Safcol here in Parliament. It's going to be worse with people that are just sitting there at home who do not know that there is a big company and a company that has this big potential to change their lives in their own areas. They don't even have to go to Cape Town or to Joburg. In their own area, they can change their lives where they are. Chair, my humble request is for, I'm not sure if it has to be Safcol or the shareholder, but I think we need to get the monitoring and evaluation documents. How is this monitoring and evaluation done in these companies? We need a 2-hour session on just looking on these entities. How are they monitored and evaluated? Where, on which document are these monitoring systems? Even if we've got the monitoring systems of government is there, but we need to go deeper. Because I'm saying this, Chair, because the monitoring and evaluation has been always there. But we have a company like Safcol that has a 44 million, as you have alluded to, a 44 million rand of fraud. There are people who need a 15,000 rand housing structure only to live in. And yet that is 44 million. We need to look at their way of valuating, their sessions or what do you call it? Sessions of them. How do they evaluate? Does the public enterprise evaluate these entities? Where do public enterprise help so that these big monies do not easily get out of the entities or out of the department without anybody noticing and without anybody saying anything? It is really embarrassing to hear that to wait until the Auditor General give us the report, and yet think what is happening while the Auditor General is busy with the report in front of him. What is happening while the Auditor General is still busy? So we need to look at it. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if it's going to be helpful for us to get to know, or is it lawful for us to get to know their monitoring system, if these monitoring systems of theirs is working, or it's just a document that is there that is not working. I know that I can see the executive, the newly appointed executive and the newly appointed board, they've got strides to make, but they need to be out there and be heard that we are doing something, we are doing this. Because out there now, everybody's waiting. You know, before, Chair, people did not have interest in anything. You know, Chairperson, when it's budget time, February, when the minister is going to put the budget, you can go outside as a member of parliament. You'll never see anybody. Everybody is in front of the TV. They want to see what is happening in the budget, who is given how much. And they after that, people want to follow what is happening with the budget that the government has given out. So we need to look at these things. And I support you when you say we must call the shareholder. The shareholder must because every time I was looking now at the reports of public enterprises, it's just a brush off when it comes to Safcol. There are companies that they are focusing off, but in Safcol it's just two, three lines that they are speaking about Safcol. We need to put our foot down, Chairperson. The shareholder must come and present the issues of Safcol. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe Safcol is an abandoned child. We need to
get down.
Honorable thing, you want to...
Yeah, thank you very much. I think we also need to engage with the Land Claims Commissioner, because 60% of the land is under claim, and I'm sure those communities there have an aspiration that land belongs to them. And the sooner we can resolve that, the better. That's one. Secondly, I notice in the company structure you've got Abacus Forestries, SOC Limited, etc., etc. The question might have been asked. Are there separate boards now for Abacus and everybody else? Or is the Safcol board in charge of everything else? Because you see, I get a sense with SOE, we've got 700 of them, but we only deal with a few. Many people, jobs are just being created for people to be on boards, to be CEOs, CFOs, etc., etc., etc. And I think we have a responsibility at this committee to look into all of them. Because, you know, what we have to consider as a committee, is there need for Safcol to exist as an institution moving forward?
That has been answered, Honorable Singh. The new chairperson has just given us the roadmap with brilliant ideas, with a lot of energy and the passion to can change SAFCOL into a world-class business entity. And with these ideas, we hope the stability of leadership in this entity is critical, because people will have ideas, next thing they've been removed. But we have had good stories today in your absence. Hopefully that captured in the minutes will be able to go through. Honourable members, I think we have, Honourable Sandra, you wanted to say the last thing.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to help my honourable colleague, Honourable Ranto. I mean, sorry, Ranto. It's Tswana, Sotho, Xolo. About what I said earlier, about every entity being clear on what specific interventions it's taking for its various issues. So almost like the minutes of a meeting. You have the issue, you have the agreed action step, and you have the time period. So, and who's responsible. And like I said, we need to have every entity meet us every quarter. And what Honourable Ranto was talking about, the performance monitoring evaluation, quarterly performance reports. So, you know, those happy, sad, those green, yellow, red faces, we need to have those at every meeting. So that's the only way we are going to be able to provide effective oversight. Because where did we last see SAFCOL? Nini? Beginning of this year. Yes, from the year before. So the next time, you know, SAFCOL might come, it's next year. And then some people might forget what was discussed in this meeting. So if we have that summary and report, we can always go back to it and say, okay, well, what did you say you were going to do? What were the issues? How far have you come? And then as a committee, on every entity, we will start making a tangible difference. Ndiyabulela sihlalo.
Thank you. Chairperson, your concluding remarks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We really appreciate the opportunity to share what we are doing at SAFCOL, and we also appreciate very much the feedback that we are getting. Everything that we are getting here, we consider it as feedback that is going to help us to build the company that belongs to the people of South Africa. We definitely also commit that all what we have shared here is not just talk, and that will be shown by the actions that we will be reporting and that we will be hearing and seeing. And we also look forward to getting the committee visiting our operations so that you are in a position to understand the issues that we talk about. Because clearly, at times, some of the questions and comments reflect a misunderstanding of what the entity is about. And we definitely appreciate that visit, so that we can talk from the same level moving forward. We thank you very much for everything. And with regard to the charges that have been emphasized, we will definitely talk to both NPA as well as the Hawks to determine the implications of us disclosing the information that is requested here, so that we're in a position to give feedback soon. Thank you very much.
Viwe, are you representing the shareholder?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I'd like to respond to the question that Honourable Teddy had earlier in terms of the view of the shareholder, and hopefully it will address some of your concerns as a portfolio committee. As a shareholding department, I mean, Minister appointed a new board, and we've seen significant strides in terms of the stabilization of the company since the appointment of the board. What we would want to see is that the board must conclude on the appointments and close on the leadership vacuum. We are of the view that in order for the company to grow, it needs to diversify through value addition on its lock product. We've been saying this for years. Our engagement with the entity, the last 5 years, it's been promising to invest in the timber dollar sawmill. We have yet to see that. We believe there's a solid business case for the business. We think that, Safcol is one of the very few SOCs that have a great balance sheet, doesn't rely on the state for guarantees, has never had any fiscal injection, but we need the leadership of the board to make the investment. They've talked today about various initiatives. We want to say as a shareholder, can we not talk anymore? Can we see action? We, from a monitoring perspective, we had initiated a process where we're supposed to have monthly meetings with the SOC. At this point in time, that is not happening as it should be, and I'm glad we are bringing it up here. What we are promising to do is that we will engage more with the SOC. We will look at your request in terms of the quarterly reports. I will take that back to the principals. But yes, Chairperson, our view is that this is a great business, it's a great opportunity. We just need to see the implementation thereof. The minister has been assisting in many various initiatives. I can give an example, the Floma for one. She went to Mozambique, engaged with the JEP. They requested a business case. It's still yet to be advanced by the SOC. So it's one of the many, many, many initiatives she has undertaken, and there wasn't action. So we are hoping now with the new leadership we'll see something happen.
Nani, if you were as the leadership in that department, you need to play your part. We have a sense that you have neglected Safcol. You are shaking your heads. These monthly meetings you are talking about, they were never happening. And you never even made an initiative to say, let's check why are they not. You are the one who should initiate them. You are the shareholder.
You were not opening a dialogue.
Yes,
we are in a meeting. I call them busy.
So we are pleading with you to do your work. This is a public entity. You are the shareholder. It belongs to the people of this country. And we need to see public value out of what Safcol is doing. With these few remarks, let me round up for the chair and his executive to note the issues which they they need to follow up. We said we need a forestry industrialization plan in line with the EPUB of government, issues of diversifications, issues of beneficiations and so on must form part of this plan with clear indicators, clear targets and time frames so that you are able to monitor if you are really doing your work. We said we also need a report in relation to the resignation of the executives. You need not to go into details of the merits as the members expressed, but to understand the abrupt resignations of those executive members in our next meeting. We need to interact with yourself in relation to the status quo of IFLOMA as it is now and the way forward. Yes, you try to explain your vision in relation to reviving it and then to position it, but we need a comprehensive plan around the IFLOMA, the status and the future of this investment. Lastly, I think we also, this belongs to the shareholder, the issue of the competition board. Safcol will not be able to embark on this industrialization plan if you don't come on board and assist in relation to the competitors who wants to block them to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next meeting, we need to see and hear a plan. How do you intend to assist this? Were you ever taken to court, or maybe it was threats to say we'll interdict you if you do ABCD?
There are two cases before the Competitions Commission, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Yes.
That's enough. So those are the issues we would like you to bring us when you come back. And honorable members will remind me if I'm leaving anything outside. Honorable Matthias and Honorable Stender.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think we should add on give deadlines. I don't think we need to wait until the next meeting for the chair of the board to tell us about who has been charged and after he's consulted, which I don't understand why he needs to consult the Hawks and NPA. But in any way, we don't have to wait until the next meeting. And I think he can send through your office what the outcome is, and we must set a deadline on when he can report to us on that.
Madam Chair, it need not be the chairperson. It can be anyone who laid the complaint at the police station. It can be the stakeholder, whoever, with regards to that case. Ma'am, what I propose we add is the land claims model and the diverse. Oh, you did include diversification. Okay. The restructuring, which is being presented to the board in December 2016, we need to know how that restructuring is going to be going forward, and especially what that new structure, what is going to look like in terms of management, etc. And also you mentioned that you were going to bring, is it KLF, IFLOMA under SAFCOL directly rather than under KLF. Yes, but all of that restructuring, so when you start, you know, moving around subsidiaries, you know, members commented we didn't know who SAFCOL was, and the next SAFCOL that might come here might not be, you know, it might not be washing powder, as my colleague said, but it might be a capsule, so, you know. So the restructuring, ma'am, I think that we need to get a report back. You know, it's all very well to say, kodwa, where are the solutions? So where they say competition board, where they say demand, etc., the stakeholder needs to come back with proof. Who are they going to network with? How are they going to grow these things? And Chair, I think we mustn't be too harsh on the shareholder. If the shareholder has called meetings and the entity has not reported, the shareholder mustn't keep quiet. They must raise those issues so that the appropriate action can be taken.
I hope so. Honorable Radio.
Chairperson, I know that the Department of Public Enterprises, as a shareholder of the company, might not have a mandate that looks like the other mandates of the other departments. But for them to call a meeting with the entity several times and the entity does not respond, it cannot be our responsibility. It cannot be us feeling pity for them for what they are. That's why I'm saying, Chairperson, the manner they are evaluating and monitoring the entities leaves much to be desired. Because if that happened, the shareholder should have known what to do next. If they miss two important meetings that can take forward the entity, and that also the shareholder had to report on, and then those meetings are not materializing, I think the shareholder has got to put its foot down and tell the entity what to do. Now, I don't feel pity for them. They must do their work.
Thanks, Jay.
Hardline is...
Honourable members, that brings us to the end of our meeting. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the new chairperson of the board and the board members in absentia, and also the executive, the acting CEO. We wish you good luck in your work. We hope you will be able to turn this around. And also, Trish, we hope that in the next AG's report, we won't find all these things. You have shown courage and passion to do your work. Please do your best, because I always say to people, you are not doing this for yourselves. You are doing it to the next person who's not able to do it. Wish you a safe flight to Pretoria, and we hopefully, Disang is not here to arrange for the oversight visit in, it's either in Limpopo or in Mpumalanga, but the office will interact with yourself. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. The committee will remain and deal with the minutes of the last meeting.
The minutes are gone.
Honourable members, we are disabled today. I'm told the minutes are not here because Disang is not around. So we look into those minutes in the next meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
And I have my name just on this thing now. It's been 10 meetings already, and I'm still not recognized. I'm still not recognized.
Even in today.
No, it's just got honorable ESF. Huh?
There is a problem with this thing. Because why would they say honorable ESF?
And they don't put in my name because they've removed at the Raoul. I'm not recognized.
We might just watch those oversight visits because we're going to sit until about the 7th of December. Plenary.
Okay.
We've got lots of work, man, so we won't have time for budget.
So is this up to the 15th and go back when all everybody is going back home so that we don't finish our money before they come back?
Oh, I see.
Is that the trick?
Is that the trick? Yeah, that's the trick.
Oh, please.